Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
So 4 years ago, y'all know what we were doing or not doing. We were experiencing one of the most adverse times, perhaps the most adversity I've experienced in my life, and we were experiencing it on a global level. There were not people anywhere in the world that were not affected by that adversity of illness and fear and anxiety and way too many deaths and isolation. We weren't here. We weren't in spiritual community in person. All across the globe, we experienced this. And in the midst of that adversity, we were encouraged to find joy, right? I mean, we heard it everywhere. We heard it on the news and from our friends and our social media feeds. We heard it in our spiritual communities. Find your joy, because if we don't find our joy, we will go crazy, okay? And we did. We did a really good job of finding our joy, I believe, in the midst of that great adversity. Right? Our social media feeds were full of people talking about how they were exploring new arts and crafts. And our musicians, God bless our musicians all over the world, they were all over the internet giving us free concerts. Right? And people picked up hobbies that they had maybe put away because of the busyness of life. But during that time, they took the guitar out that they hadn't touched in 10 years. They opened up the paints and the paintbrushes. They started planting gardens again. For me, I started dancing while making dinner because I had a whole lot of time and it didn't matter how long it took me to make dinner, right? And remember what we said to ourselves and everybody else during that time? I don't want to go back to the way it was. I like this slowing down. I like this having so much joy. I like painting and dancing and gardening. I like having all this joy with my family and friends. I don't want to go back to the old ways. We need a new normal. And then we got a vaccine, and society opened up again, and thank goodness the death rate went way down. All beautiful, wonderful things we had prayed for, and we went back to normal. We went back to the old ways. We got busy again. You know, all my friends that talked about how they loved having so much spare time, they don't have that spare time anymore. And we did, in large part, I think we went back to normal and we put the guitar back in the closet, we closed up the paint jars, I stopped dancing when I make dinner. And I don't know about you all, but I kind of miss dancing while I make dinner, right? And I'm not saying we don't have joy now. We do. We definitely have joy in our lives. For me, this, what we do right here, spiritual community, is a great joy in my life. I can't imagine my life without this joy anymore. And I will never give this up, this great joy. But I gave up dancing during making dinner. I think what we've given up is making it a priority like we did 4 years ago. We gave up telling ourselves every day, you know what, I need some joy today. And we gave up gifting ourselves that joy on a daily basis. Well, I sense that maybe some of you feel like I do in the midst of what's going on right now in society, of heated political rhetoric, heated climate, fear, divisiveness, the injustices. I feel like maybe we need to make joy a priority again. And that's my invitation today for all of us, is to make it a priority again, to give us that, even when society isn't reminding us to do it every day, to remind ourselves to do it every day. And it's because joy is so essential to our well-being. So I did some research, and there are so many benefits to joy, just having regular joy in our lives. The most obvious, of course, is lower levels of depression, but also stronger immune system, stronger bonds with other people, lower levels of stress hormones, and just plain old living longer and less pain. You know, the Chinese have a proverb that says, one joy scatters 100 griefs. That sounds just about right to me. So what is this joy, or where does it come from? You know, we know we can experience it, but how or why are we able to experience it? And why or how are we able to experience it in the face of so much adversity? Well, it's because joy is just part of the fabric of the universe. It just simply is. We don't have to create it, and we cannot destroy it. It just simply is. You know, in Centers for Spiritual Living, we often mention the divine qualities that we give thanks for and that we want to experience in our lives and project or express into the world, such as love and harmony and justice and beauty and prosperity and joy. We always include joy in there because it's part of that thing that created the universe. And it's expressing that joy all the time. Our job is to tap into it. You know, and this idea, this truth, it's not just an idea, this truth with a capital T, that joy just is taught in many faith traditions. Now, in Judaism, they say that joy is the evidence of God's presence. In Christianity, in the Gospel of John, it's recorded that Jesus, the day before he was crucified, said to his disciples, I have come so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So what Jesus was telling his disciples is, I came to teach you joyful living. That was my whole purpose for coming and teaching you the things that I have taught. And I love the Hindu teachings of joy, that joy is spirit itself. Paramahansa Yogananda wrote, joy expresses itself under certain conditions, but it is not created by those conditions. Thus, when someone receives $1,000 and exclaims, oh, how happy I am, The condition of having received $1,000 has merely served as a pickaxe, releasing a fountain of joy from the hidden reservoir of bliss within. So, in human experience, certain events are usually required to bring forth joy, but the joy itself is the perennial native state of the soul. Joy is the perennial native state of the soul. So let's go a little further into Hindu teachings today, because we are interfaith teaching. In Hinduism and the Upanishads, which are part of their holy scriptures, there's a story of young Bhrigu. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. Young Bhrigu goes to his father, and he says, "Father, teach me about Brahman, the Supreme Spirit." And his father says to Bhrigu, well, he told his son about the food of the earth and the breath of life and about seeing and hearing and speaking and thinking. And then he said to his son, "Seek to find from where these things come, by which they grow into what they return, that is Brahman." In Hinduism, they use a lot of cryptic teachings, but bear with me, we'll get there, okay? It makes you go a little deeper with what they're trying to teach. So Bhrigu takes his father's advice, and he goes off by himself, and he contemplates these things, and he comes to the realization that food of the earth is spirit. After all, we come from the earth, we grow and live by food, and we return to the earth. But he's not quite fully satisfied with this, so he returns to his father and says, "Father, teach me more about Brahman." And this time his father says, "Son, meditate, for meditation is Brahman." And Bhrigu goes off again and says, "Okay, I'll do this again." And he meditates, and this time he discovers that life is spirit. He's still not satisfied. And he does this several times of returning to his father, saying, "Father, teach me more about Brahman." And his father says, "Meditate." And Bhrigu goes through, first it's food, and then it's life, and then it's wisdom, and then it's the mind. These are spirit. Until towards the end of the story, still not satisfied with his knowledge, Bhrigu went to his father, appealing for more teachings of Brahman. Again, his father told him to meditate. So Bhrigu meditated and found that joy is spirit. From joy, all creatures are born. By joy, they grow. And to joy, they return. This is what Bhrigu found in the depths of his heart through meditation. So when Bhrigu finally went deep enough in his meditation into his heart, he discovered the great truth that joy is Brahman, that joy is the great creator, the great spirit. And he was finally satisfied with the answer. And another great truth of Hinduism that will help explain why Bhrigu found that joy is spirit is the story of creation itself in Hinduism. That Brahman, the self-knowingness, the all-knowing, deliberately chose to forget who it is. It entered into ignorance and created all of the universe just so it could experience the joy of returning to itself. It had to forget who it was, who it is, to have the joy of discovering itself. So if you think about what that means, since we are part of creation, we are part of Brahman, God, the great spirit, discovering itself on a journey of joy. So our very lives are the joy of the one spirit. That's what that means. And that's why that joy is something that we cannot, or we don't have to create, and we cannot destroy. And that's why we can always find joy in the face of adversity, because it's why we're here in the first place. It's our very being. We are the joy of the Great Spirit knowing itself. And it's why we're able to find joy in the face of adversity. You know, humans are incredibly resilient, and I think one of the reasons why is because we know how to find joy when things aren't going that well. A great example of this were the Jewish people who were imprisoned at Terezin in the Czech Republic during World War II. The Nazis had turned this town into a Jewish ghetto and a concentration camp. About 150,000 Jews went through there during the years of World War II, including about 15,000 children. Among these Jewish people that were imprisoned there were scholars and scientists and musicians and creative artists. And the Jewish people there, in the face of constant near-death starvation, constant cold, they were never warm in the winter, constant fear of being deported to what they knew were, by that time, were extermination camps. In the face of all this, they created an incredible, flourishing culture. In those few years, they presented more than 2,400 lectures on a wide variety of topics and more than 1,000 concerts. And most impressively, they performed 6 times Giuseppe Verdi's Mass Requiem. Now, Verdi's Requiem Mass, yes, it was a Mass, it was a Catholic Mass, and these were Jewish people, but it was the music and the joy that that piece brought them. And the great Czech composer, I forget his name, Raphael Schechter, when he knew he was going to this camp, he had one copy of the score of Verdi's Requiem, and he smuggled it in. Now, Verdi's Requiem is known, renowned for being, first of all, it's very long, and secondly, it's incredibly complex. People today will say, there's no way you can memorize it. But 150 Jewish choir members on the brink of death by starvation and cold every day memorized the entire Requiem from one score, and they gave 6 performances. And the movie Defiant Requiem tells this story, and in that movie there are two survivors of Terezin, both women who had been members of that choir. And one says in the movie, "I don't think the soul has to be nourished by anything but heavenly music. The soul doesn't need anything else. It just needs heavenly music." And another woman spoke about how their time with Verdi's Requiem was all about pure joy. That's why they did it, for the pure joy of it. But she was also very clear to say, but this was not for entertainment. This was a struggle for life itself. It's what helped them survive, was bringing forth that joy. That's how critical, how important joy is for us. Sometimes our very lives depend on it. And so, I want to take a moment and encourage all of us here in the sanctuary and in our virtual community to just take a moment and reflect on a moment that you had of pure joy. Just, if it's comfortable, just close your eyes for a moment and remember some pure joy. What did it look like, sound like, smell like, taste like? What did it feel like? Just visualize that joy. And now take a moment and ask yourselves, how can I make this a regular feature of my life? How can I incorporate this into my daily living, even if it's only 5 minutes? And if you also know yourself well enough to know that when you leave here, you will forget what you just said to yourself, before you leave, maybe just put a reminder in your phone for 2 hours from now to write this down. Or better yet, put a reminder in your phone to go off every day at the same time and give yourself 5 minutes of joy. And if you can't leave what you're doing to go pick up your guitar or whatever it is, sit and just remember some past joy. Because even remembered joy is beneficial. So give yourself that gift. And as you go through the rest of this week and the months and the rest of this year to come, I think it might get even a little hotter, both literally and figuratively. Let yourself take out the guitar, open the paint jars, plant the garden or tend to your garden, dance while you're making dinner. Or if you want to experience some new type of joy, there are many things you can do to bring joy into our lives. You can try something new because humans love to learn. It always gives us joy. Physical exercise will do it. Volunteering and service work brings joy because we love giving of ourselves to others. Limit negativity. For me, that means, you know, ever since the 2016 election, man, my news consumption has gone way down. And I think that's a good thing. At least for me, it helps work. But limiting negativity also means be careful who you spend your time with or too much time with, as far as if people are negative or they complain a lot or they participate in gossip. You could try the 3 good things exercise, which is much like a gratitude journal, where at the end of the day, you write down 3 things that day that brought you joy, but you do more than just list them. You write down the actual thing, what it was, some details, and how it made you feel. So it's like a gratitude journal plus. And then, of course, if you want to have the experience that our young friend Brigu had, you can meditate. Meditate is a great way to feel joy because it gets us back to that native state of our soul. It connects us with that something bigger from whence we come. And if you want a regular opportunity to meditate, our practitioners here at Portland Center for Spiritual Living do a meditative service every Wednesday at 7 o'clock on Zoom. All you have to do is go to cslportland.org and click on the Zoom link. And they have a variety of meditation services every Wednesday. It's a great opportunity to meditate. So in the coming days, if you feel like you're losing your joy or facing some adversity, remember to give yourself joy because it is so essential. And it's essential because from joy we have come, in joy we live and have our being, and in that sacred joy we will one day melt again. And in this space of joy and remembering that we are joy, we enter into a time of prayer. If it's comfortable for you, I invite you to close your eyes or soften the eyes. And I invite our practitioner prayer partners, whether they're here in the sanctuary or with us in our virtual community space, I invite you to stand and hold this prayer in your consciousness. on behalf of this spiritual community and on behalf of all of our one human family. It is with great joy that I acknowledge that one life and the great gift it gave us of choosing to forget itself so that it could have the joy of coming back to itself through creation, through each and every one of us. And we get to be part of that joyful journey. Everything in our lives is part of that spirit, remembering who and what it is. Man, is it having a good time. It's having so much joy when we live our lives as we are meant to be, because each of us has a unique expression of that joy that we bring to that Godhead, to that one spirit, to that great creator. Its joy is not complete without each and every one of us expressing and experiencing our joy in the good times, in the dark times, in the times of adversity. Our joy is needed for ourselves and for our families and our communities and our world. And so it is with great gratitude that I release these words into that joyful love, into that joyful creative aspect of the one that only says, yes, yes, breathe me, yes, live who I am, yes, experience joy. So with great gratitude and with the knowing that we are joy, we come from joy, we live by joy, and we return to joy because there's nowhere else to come from or to go to, I simply release, I let go, and I let it be. And so it is. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.